Israel arrested 9 soldiers on charges they raped a Palestinian prisoner so bad the victim could not walk any longer. The soldiers reportedly resisted arrest by barricading themselves inside of the detention center and then defended themselves using pepper spray. That eventually didn't work. They were taken into custody. But that's just the start of this story. And Israeli protesters now taking to the streets in support of the rapists, saying they have a right to rape. Dan Cohen from Uncaptured Media has been following this story, and he joins us now. Dan, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. I mean, there seems so many unanswered questions about this story. Why now? The rapes have been going on against these prisoners for a long time. Why are we suddenly hearing about these arrests now? What is happening?
Well, it's really ironic how this is all unfolded, Clayton. I mean, the International Criminal Court, the international courts have been pressuring Israel to the best of their ability to carry out some kind of investigation into the numerous reports of heinous crimes, including torture, murder, rape, as you described, of Palestinian prisoners who were taken from the Gaza Strip into the Sde Teiman prison inside Israel, which is an Israeli military prison. And so as the International Criminal Court has has announced some measures, Germany has actually said that, well, we're basically Europe and Germany in particular has said that we're going to wait for Israel. We want Israel to carry out an internal investigation, you know, take care of business inside its own house. So by Germany and Europe doing everything possible to protect Israel, to prolong this process, it actually, finally, Israel opened an investigation into these stories of rape of Palestinian prisoners. And what you just described, where Israeli military police showed up at the prison and in order to investigate the soldiers who are accused of carrying out these awful crimes, then they basically had a clash with the military police and the soldiers at the prison, and then it became a public thing. And you had several dozen protesters, if we can call them that, Israeli protesters, including members of Israel's parliament, the Knesset, from the what's called the Jewish Power Party, going there and denouncing the investigation. So they are in total, full-throated support of these heinous crimes, of anally raping Palestinian prisoners. I want to give a little bit of context to help people kind of understand the moment. Back in 2016, there was an Israeli soldier named Elor Azaria who was caught on video in the occupied West Bank city of Hebron, summarily executing a wounded and immobilized Palestinian. This is a pretty normal occurrence, except this was caught on like high definition video and blasted by a local Palestinian and then blasted out by the Israeli human rights group, B'Tselem. That video went viral all over the world, became an international incident, and embarrassed Israel. And it forced Netanyahu, who was then the prime minister too, and the kind of political class to say, oh, we don't do that. You know, we believe in the rule of law. And that angered the Israeli populace. And there were huge demonstrations. I was there. I actually filmed them and did a couple of short documentaries on these. And the atmosphere was just, frankly, terrifying. Just fascist mobs in support of this soldier who just blew a guy's brains out on the street. And that is the correct and moral thing they to do, they believe. And so that soldier went to prison for a very brief period of time and was and became a national hero. So And the rage of the populace against Netanyahu was absolutely massive. They filled the largest square in Tel Aviv, in Rabin Square, where Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated in the 90s. This crowd was full. There was a woman, she held up a sign that said, kill them all. So that was back in 2016. Now take that and multiply it by October 7th. The shock and trauma and hate and rage and racism pulsing through the veins of Israeli society that is just at, this is the same kind of phenomenon at a just massive, many times larger scale, what's happened in Sde Teiman prison. So these protesters, I mean, I should say this prison, you know, this is, the Israeli prison system is run by the police. It's part of the police under the purview of National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir. This prison, however, is run by the military. These are, it takes Palestinians from Gaza to the prison, and it says to interrogate them so it can, you know, get intelligence about where Israeli captives in Gaza are, this sort of thing. But what actually happens in this prison, as numerous investigations have shown, Palestinians who have survived this prison have come out of, it's not about getting intelligence at all. It's not about finding Israeli captives in Gaza. What happens there is the most cruel punishment. It is torture with electric shocks, beatings, severe beatings, where if you talk to someone, you are beaten till your teeth break, till your bones break. If you fall asleep, these kinds of things. People are, as we know, anally raped. Prisoners are killed. There have been many who have been murdered who just never come out. I mean, earlier on in the war, when we saw those photos from Gaza of Palestinian men rounded up, their eye blindfolded and their hands tied behind their back, and they're in the back of a truck, that's where they're going. These are just civilians, because all the fighters are underground. So they take civilians from the neighborhoods and just take them there and torture them and kill them. Even top doctors, I think it's 39 medical professionals from Gaza have I believe been killed in there, including the head of orthopedic surgery at Al Shifa Hospital, Dr. Adnan Albersh. He was taken in there and killed. So this is, I mean,
you know the argument. You know the argument. They'll call them all Hamas, right? So civilians, they're just labeled Hamas, even though the Hamas fighters are underground. So they just round them up. So this woman, you know, this is the argument right now from these protesters, right? This is, we should have the right to rape Hamas prisoners, right? I mean, that's really the argument here. Even Ben-Gvir, the Israeli Minister of National Security, condemned the arrest of the soldiers as, quote, shameful, and called them the best heroes. So these soldiers who raped this woman, he considers them the best heroes. I like to think of it in terms of like the United States of America. Like if Americans are watching right now, they're like, can't wrap their brains around this. Imagine this happening in the United States, where we have American soldiers who captured Al-Qaeda terrorists, legitimate Al-Qaeda terrorists, and happened to be a woman Al-Qaeda terrorist. And they were then found to have raped an Al-Qaeda terrorist in a prison holding cell, like at Guantanamo Bay or something like that, to the point where she couldn't walk anymore. How would Americans respond to that? Would Americans take to the streets in protest saying that American soldiers have the right to rape an Al-Qaeda terrorist? Even if that person, I mean, if that was a person, an Al-Qaeda terrorist, this person was a civilian. So I guess I'm just trying to put it in terms of like, how would Americans see this? Is that a bridge too far?
No, I think that's fair. And it's even crazier because the Israeli case is even crazier because they say, Ben-Gvir will say, if you criticize this raping and murder of Palestinian prisoners or Hamas or whatever you want to call them, you're an anti-Semite. That's what they'll say, that you're an actual racist and you hate not only Jews in Israel, you hate Jews all over the world. So they're going to say that me, Dan Cohen, you know, you hate Dan Cohen.
You're a Jew.
Or, yeah, exactly.
And you are Jewish.
Exactly. So this is even crazier than it even would be in our case in the United States. But your point stands, because this is not about – look, when you torture someone, you can get them to say anything. You can, you know, they'll confess to anything. That's the whole point of torture. You're not getting actual useful intelligence out of them. You know, you're saying you can get someone to declare that they are baby Jesus reincarnate if you put them under enough enough pressure. So that is not what this is about. This is about pure sadomasochistic violence against people who they believe are subhuman and deserve to be exterminated, as is happening in the Gaza Strip. Compare this, Clayton, how this episode has unfolded, and what and we've known since basically not long after the beginning of this war, not long after October 7th, we've heard testimony about the horrors taking place in this prison. Compare the coverage of that throughout all these months to the Hamas mass rape stories that we heard about October 7th, which at this point have long been totally debunked. There's not a single name of an Israeli woman who was allegedly raped on that day. And the media ran with that story. Joe Biden talked about it, said, you know, there was
New York Times.
There were, exactly. New York Times did a huge investigation on it. The UN investigated it. All of this stuff. And it was all totally phony. But here in the United States, a lot of people believe that Hamas committed mass rape. And not only that, in Israel, Israeli liberals that I talked to who are probably, you know, pinching their nose and, you know, turning away as they look at this, they believe that there was mass rape. Now, when you have that in the sort of consciousness of what's happening in these prisons, they're taking that out on these prisoners. You mass raped our women, and now we're going to punish you for it. So that's another part of this. So it shows the media complicity in perpetrating a complete hoax, fraud story while ignoring what was actually a projection. There is mass rape taking place inside these prisons, and it's been completely ignored and covered up by the Western media and political class, and now it's exploded, and everyone, you know, is now wondering what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, it's because they're in the tank and they take money, of course. So they're complicit in this. They're absolutely complicit, and the U.S. media should be ashamed. And by the way, the alternative media in the United States should be ashamed about this. I'll get you out of here on this, Dan, which is civil war. There's been this phrase floated around inside of Israel now for the past couple of days, weeks, in fact. But this could, people saying this could be the moment, you know, the tipping point moment here inside the country for those that want Netanyahu removed and for those that want Netanyahu to remain in power. Do you think that this moment could lead to a civil war inside of Israel over this rape situation?
Well, the Israeli military establishment is terrified of what's going on right now. They have sent actually three Israeli military battalions that were supposed to go into Gaza, have now been diverted to go to a military court in the Israeli city of Lid in order to prepare for any kind of clashes like this. So this is actually even affecting Israel's war effort, if we can call it that, inside the Gaza Strip, which is, of course, floundering and going nowhere while they massacre civilians on a daily basis. At the same time, if, you know, imagine that there was not just pepper spray used in these clashes between the protesters and the Israeli military police or these detained soldiers. Imagine if there was a shot fired. That is when you could see this whole thing explode, the lid totally come off, and see real serious violence in the street that could descend into civil war. The state of Israel is totally unstable right now. It's in an extremely perilous moment where it's not able, it has no real successes in Gaza. It's destroyed its international image. It is threatening to go to war with Lebanon, which it definitely cannot handle. It can easily expand into a war with Iran. And it's trying, and Benjamin Netanyahu is just inside the United States, of course, getting bipartisan support, and with the unspoken agenda of trying to drag the United States into war to fight for Israel in Lebanon and in Iran. So all of these factors with the internal instability are, this is a recipe for complete disaster. So really anything could happen at this point, and there's definitely a possibility of civil war. One more point I'll make: back in, if you remember the World Central Kitchen massacre in Gaza back in earlier right. in the spring, I wrote
when
a piece
Israel killed all
site.
Of those aid when Israel killed all those aid workers delivering food.
Exactly. Right. Drone strikes on aid workers who the U.S. and Israel had put into Gaza. And this was a huge incident. I wrote a piece on my site, Uncaptured, looking at that incident and a few others where they had committed a massacre. The Israelis had committed a massacre against a bunch of Palestinians waiting for an aid truck. And then they said they did it. And these were happening mostly in the north of Gaza, these heinous massacres. What that was, as I showed in the piece, was actually a clash between the soldiers, the rank and file soldiers and commanders, and the military establishment in Tel Aviv handing down the orders, because they did not want to see, the soldiers who were in the field do not want to see a drop of humanitarian aid getting into Gaza. Whereas the military establishment, the political class, they have to play along with the United States and Europe and the international community and say, oh, we are allowing aid in. And that angered the rank and file who were in there fighting so much that that's where they committed these heinous massacres. So this is another big divide: the people in the Israeli military who are actually carrying this out, and the political class who are handing down the orders. And it's the same divide that you see in the prisons, in this prison incident, where the soldiers in there are raping and torturing and murdering as the broad swaths of Israeli society want them to do, to just simply punish Palestinians. And the political class has to play along and carry out this investigation in order to protect its own interests. So this divide is throughout Israeli society. It's throughout the military. And this is the real fault line, that the longer this war goes on and Netanyahu resists a ceasefire, not because of, for really even national reasons, but because he is facing criminal prosecution if his government falls and he loses his immunity that he is guaranteed by the most right-wing forces that he brought into the government, then as soon as that happens, it all collapses. So, I mean, this is just barely held together, and it could just explode at any time.
Thanks for your unbelievable reporting on this. One of the few voices, one of the few journalists in the, you know, in the Western world, in the Western media, who's been able to cover this objectively. Dan Cohen from Uncaptured Media will be watching your documentary unfold there in Israel. Dan, great to see you as always.
Great to see you. Thank you.